This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
When you visit a state as big and diverse as Texas, there are a million different trips you can take. Let's say you've got an appetite for whitewater kayaking. You can get your own.
So this is why they call it Devil's River.
Trip to Texas. Or maybe you have an actual appetite. I'll take a pound of brisket, six ribs, three links of sausage, and a piece of pecan pie. Trip to Texas. Go to TravelTexas.com/get your own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
Hey, hey! Happy end of your weekend. Oh, I was trying to come up with some way to brand it. Happy start of the new work week. Or how about this? Happy June. June? How is it June? It's one of those words where if I keep saying it over and over, it will sound foreign to me. June. 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 Know what I mean? Sometimes when you keep repeating a word over and over again, it starts to sound very foreign in your mouth. How can that be a word? Well, how can it be June? These are questions we just don't have answers to. And yet it is June 2nd, 2024. We're getting closer to the official start of summer. Now remember, we already unofficially launched summer. We're getting closer to the official start of summer. And this is a good month. It's going to be a good month. I can feel it. We will crown a champion in the NBA and the NHL. We will continue to debate Caitlin Clark and her reception and her success at the WNBA level. And actually, to that end, a president of one of the WNBA teams and a longtime college coach herself will be our guest on Monday night's edition of the show. Can't wait to talk to her. I've got a long history with Jennifer Rosati, who is a former UConn star, an Olympian. She played in the WNBA herself and then coached in college for a couple decades. And that's where I connected with her. I traveled with one of her previous teams, the Hartford Hawks, for 8 years. And so I know Jen really well, and I know she's a straight shooter. And I know that she will give us her perspective that comes from, number one, a former player. Number two, a successful championship athlete at every level. And number three, now, someone who has coached women's teams for years, but also her Connecticut Sun are one of the best teams in the WNBA at this point. They've faced Caitlin Clark and the Fever multiple times. And so I am really interested in her perspective. Like I said, she is a straight shooter. She never holds back. And she will give us not only the perspective of someone who played, but someone who's watching this as an executive unfold now around the WNBA that she was part of at the very beginning. So looking forward to that. But in the meantime, man, it's getting tough out there, tough crowd. And I got to say, there's absolutely no doubt that Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, and the Indiana Fever are exhausted. They're tired. They play every other day, it feels like. In some cases, back to back. The schedule's been really challenging in these first couple weeks. And at some point, it will balance out. But right now, they just look like they're spent and they need a break. And what did Coach Christy Sides tell us last week? We haven't even had a chance to practice with this new crew because all we do is travel and play, travel and play. And so it'll be interesting to hear what Jen has to say. But also, at some point, when the team has a chance to breathe and break and practice, I do believe they're coming together, but their latest defeat was a beatdown. And for Caitlin Clark, her lowest point total in her entire basketball career, both the WNBA now through 11 games and college, nearly 140 games at Iowa. We'll hear from her, not just on what the Fever are going through right now, but about the shot she took from a fellow WNBA player that has been upgraded to a flagrant one. It was a cheap shot. It was Bush League. That's what it was. There's no need to knock over a player who's standing there waiting for an inbounds pass. You're clearly in a position where you either have lost your temper or you just don't care what happens as the consequence for that. Absolutely no way that she was going to avoid getting a foul called. And even though initially it was ruled a common foul, it's been upgraded to a flagrant one on review by the league. Yeah, she didn't care that there were three officials just standing there watching. That was a personal shot. So what is going on? I think it's really interesting to ask that question. So we'll talk about those two particulars. It's weird, though. And I guess this is helpful for the WNBA to keep the conversation going, for better or for worse. I think some of the narratives coming out of the WNBA right now are not helpful for the league. Not that you need everyone to be kumbaya. That's not even realistic, regardless of what sports league we're talking about. But instead of talking about the basketball, more of the focus, even on news networks. I've seen it on news networks. The shot that Caitlin took in the third quarter of their game on, I think it was Friday. It was Saturday. My mom is now wearing her Indiana Fever jersey. It was a gift from her husband in her retirement. Anyway, so that cheap shot has been a topic and has been the subject of some news networks. And unless it's salacious, generally, it doesn't hit the news cycle. Salacious or unique. Maybe we've never seen it before. But Caitlin transcends basketball. For the WNBA to not be going about its business, playing their asses off, trying to give the fans a tremendous product, I think that's probably the case for the majority of athletes. But because you have these little extracurricular sidebars, that's honestly what's making headlines right now in many cases. And it's not a good look. I'm not suggesting that everyone needs to roll out the red carpet for Caitlin, because that's not competition. Of course, all of these women, all of these teams, they want to win too. But to have this idea that the reception is so acrimonious is not a good look. Whether or not you buy into the narratives, I hate the idea that it's a quote-unquote cat fight or that women are jealous. And maybe there is a little of that, just like there would be with men. But for the most part, I think a lot of these women are excited to have all the extra coverage. They're not going to let Caitlin have anything easy. Why would they? And she comes into the league as the all-time leading scorer in D1 basketball. Almost all these women play D1 basketball, so they get what that means. Obviously, they want to win too. So there's a lot more to it. But I hate the idea that the entire WA and NBA is being branded as jealous, when that's clearly not the case. It's just icky. It's icky, some of the narratives. Is that fair? No. But is that what a lot of people were saying? Yes. So I hope that in the next few weeks or over the course of this season, the WNBA product, that starts to become what makes headlines. But how can the league take advantage? So lots of questions there. Oh, so many questions I have for Jen Rosati when I talk to her on Monday. We've also got some other female athletes with whom you are familiar in the spotlight again. How about Simone Biles winning her, are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 U.S. gymnastics championships. She's 27 years old. And she has 9 national titles. And this one wasn't even close. She wins the all-around in gymnastics, giving her a 9th title. In over a decade, she's been competing at the highest level. Now, remember, it was 3 years ago in Tokyo where she had a vault that was a little off, and she ended up withdrawing from multiple competitions, citing mental health. Now she's back, and she's in a position where she can compete at the highest level again, even at 27 years old, which is nearly unheard of in world-class gymnastics. But it's impressive what she's done. It's impressive about the ages of her competition, most of them about 10 years younger, a bunch of teenagers. And yet she will go into the Olympic trials in Minneapolis in preparation for Paris as the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak. I love that she talks about wanting to be a mentor to younger gymnasts. She's married. She's got a full life. She got a megawatt smile still. And I would be so thrilled for her if she made it back to the Olympics. She should. So it's kind of interesting to be talking about the Olympics now, because it feels like it's supposed to be an off year. Because remember, the Olympics from 2020 were postponed to 21, and now it's coming around quicker. So it kind of changes the routine, kind of changes the warm-up, changes all the dates for the championships, of course. Or I guess the frequency. It's got to be a feel different to them since it feels different to me. But still, in Paris, while it won't quite be the same disparity when it comes to time zones, we love it here on After Hours because we get to see a lot of these events unfold live here in our studios when it comes to international events, like the French Open, for instance, which is taking place through the rest of this week, week number 2, and we'll talk about that ahead. So yeah, we're on the verge of a fun international summer. I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. If you hear any involuntary groaning in the midst of the show, just nod and smile. Know that the muscle pain was earned, honestly. This is so not fun. You can be jealous of my weekend if you like, but I don't know that there's much to be envious of. We slept in a little bit on Saturday morning, but then got up, worked out. So I went running for the first time in about 6 weeks. That kicked my rear end a little bit, but I got to get back into it, trying to get ready for another half marathon coming up in late September. So did some cardio, then decided, all right, got to mow the lawn, got to get this done. And the way that my husband and I split up chores, we each mow one half of the lawn. So he did the back, I did the front. he does the edging. I end some of the weeding with his weed whacker. I actually do the weeding that has to be done by hand. And then since he was working on a couple of projects in the backyard, I started sweeping the driveway. Now, my driveway is not long. Producer Jay's been there. You could probably park three cars nose to tail if they were jammed in. So not a truck, not an oversized vehicle, but three Princess Leias if they were jammed in nose to tail. So I wouldn't say it's a real long driveway, but we've just come through yellow season, pollen season. And in addition to that, we've had a ton of rain, which I suppose has helped with pollen season. The pollen was in clumps, matted down by the water and just coating the driveway because I have a row of bushes. Maybe they're bushes, maybe they're trees. I'm not really sure. But I've got a row of them separating me from my neighbor and they're over the or against the driveway, right? And so as the pollen comes down off the trees and blows into the driveway and then it rains, it doesn't dry underneath those bushes and trees. So it just, it's wet and it's caked onto the driveway. Oh, it's so gross. So after sweeping up as much of the dead grass as I could, I then had to take a rake and just start to break up the nasty pollen. Oh my gosh. I was sneezing. I was sniffling.
It's everywhere. I hate that stuff.
Easily took an hour and a half to clean off the driveway. Do you know that every muscle in my arms hurt? Forearms, shoulders, it's sweeping and raking and then shoveling it all up, right? And hauling it out to the end of the driveway. So it was one of those days where I'm pretty sure I had lawn debris in my hair. I smelled like grass. And then by the time we got done, so as I say, Bob was in the backyard doing some home projects. We had to carry two barn doors into the house. At some point when I share a few of the wedding photos with you, the barn doors came from our wedding. He made them for the wedding. And so he was cutting off the bottoms and kind of redoing some of the crossbars so that we could take them into the house as decoration. We're going to use them as picture frames. Well, not picture frames, but picture displays. They're going to have wedding photos on them. So the doors from the wedding will be upstairs and we'll put photos from our wedding onto them. Kind of a neat little touch, right? With some of our wedding flowers. Anyway, we had to carry those two upstairs, those two barn doors. They're not light. You should have heard us after I did 4 hours of yard work and he did some yard work and then was working on these doors and cleaning out the shed and everything else. Yeah, the two of us are like, oh,
ow.
Ow.
Oh. Ow.
Ow. Exactly. So now it even hurts to laugh. And of course, the question this weekend is, babe, why are we so old? Ow, ow, ow. It hurts to laugh. It really does.
Ow.
Anyway, we've got some fun stuff, some goofy elements as well. A few thank yous to offer. Just glad to have you with us on this Sunday night as we morph into the first week of June. What? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our show Twitter, at Amy After Hours. And then our Facebook page remains the same, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, the Stanley Cup Final is set. And the West followed a similar pattern that we saw in the East. And the East wrapping up on Saturday, but the Dallas Stars, who had the second best record in the NHL this regular season, were up 2-1 after a blitz of 5 goals against the Oilers in game 3. So the Stars are up 2-1, just like the Rangers were in the East Final. They were also up 2-0 in game 4, but didn't win that game. And then as it went on, as we now know, the Oilers used their stars, relied on their stars. Their power play was huge. And they go from being down a game to the Stars to winning 3 in a row and advancing to their first Stanley Cup final since 2006. I don't have to tell any Canadian hockey fans or probably diehard hockey fans how long our friends to the North have been waiting for another Stanley Cup championship, a Stanley Cup title. And at this point, I'm wondering, will Canadians, all Canadians root for Edmonton simply to end the drought? The last Canadian team to capture the cup, Montreal in 1993. Is this the hope for Canada? I kind of feel like most Canadians would celebrate any team right now winning the cup, even if it's not your team or it's maybe a hated rival. They get pretty heated and hated when it comes to their Canadian teams. So yeah, this is a big deal. And individually, of course, we get to see the 1-2 punch of Connor McDavid, best player on the planet, and Leon Draisaitl. Last couple years, each of them 100-point scorers. So this is huge against the Florida Panthers, who are relentless. That's my word for them. So we'll let you hear how it played out in Edmonton in Game 6. And man, the crowd, according to Connor McDavid, the loudest he's ever heard it inside the arena with a healthy dose of La Bamba. Uh-huh. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. It's After Hours with
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Hey, Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Draisaitl coming off the goal line. Finds McDavid heading for the net. Around Steele. Toe drag. Backhander score. What a sensational goal by the captain, Connor McDavid. It's 1-0 Edmonton in Game 6. Spectacular. Up top, McDavid took it from Hyman. In over the line. Now feeds Hyman. Quick shot. Score. Power play goal. Edmonton takes a 2-0 lead. Zach Hyman from Connor McDavid with his 14th. And this crowd on its feet.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
La Bamba is the Oilers' victory song. And I had to Google it. I didn't know why. I remember hearing it and wondering what the significance was. So I went back just to see the names because I didn't remember the names. But the song has special meaning to the team and its fans for a couple of reasons. The Oilers had a locker room attendant named Joey Moss, and it's tied to him as well as to a 6-year-old super fan who lost his battle with cancer a couple years ago. And for that reason, La Bamba is played after every win at Rogers Place, and certainly significant for the Edmonton Oilers on the cusp of their first Stanley Cup final appearance since 2006. It's a pair of goals in the first period. Connor McDavid, terrific, of course. Zach Hyman, pretty sure McDavid assisted on that as well. So he had the goal and the assist in the first period when Hyman scored on the power play with the man advantage. And that's how it stayed until they got into the third period.
Through center ice, there's space for Sagan. Pass to Marchment, cross the line, shot goes wide. Rebound, Sagan, bump, score! Marchment crashed the net. and then shoved it off the pipe. And the Stars, with 10:42 left in the third period, have made this a one-goal game.
And how often had we heard during this series specifically that no lead was safe? So it was up to Stuart Skinner to hold off the Dallas Stars. He does that, and he's taken a lot of flack. People would be quick to point out he's not the best goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but he stopped 34 shots. This is a big deal because this is where he's from. He hails from Edmonton. And the Oilers, I love these stories. You may not think that this is the case with them, or maybe recognize anything except for the fact that they've got two of the best players in the league, but they actually were in last place. They had one of the worst records in the NHL, if not the worst record in the NHL, going back to, what was it, November? And they go from worst to first. They go from worst and firing their coach. They were 10 points out. Very few teams make the playoffs, much less the Stanley Cup final, after being 10 points out at any stretch in the season. But they were Thanksgiving week. They were sitting at 5 wins, 12 losses, and a tie. All right. No, I'm sorry. Overtime loss, right? So a penalty shot loss, whatever, overtime loss. I don't love that. I don't love it in the regular season, but I know they can't play forever like they do in the playoffs. So they were 5-12-1, and they were 10 points out of a wild card spot. That's how bad it was. 19 points behind the top team in the conference at that juncture, which was the defending Stanley Cup champion, Vegas Golden Knights. That was late November. So Chris Knobloch takes over for their fired coach, who's Jay Woodcroft. He gets the boot. And then right away, the Oilers go on an 8-game win streak. Not that they were a different team all of a sudden, but that they were getting the most out of the guys that were already on their roster. A veteran roster with several superstars. A team that was operating far below its potential. And so they had an 8-game win streak. They had a 16-game win streak a little bit later in the season. And according to record, were one of the best teams in the league the rest of the way. Despite the hole they put themselves in, they led the NHL in goals and goal differential from the point at which they started their climb. And now here they are. Now, they did not earn themselves home ice advantage throughout, right? They had to play without home ice advantage unless they seized it in the series in which they won. But they have surged to the Stanley Cup final. Dramatic, of course. And our friend Jack Michaels of Oilers Radio is the best to capture these moments.
Quick dish down low. Duchesne has shot off the pads. The rebound cleared by Brown. Not enough for icing. 15 seconds away from a trip to the final. Here's the finish. 2-1 Edmonton. Sagan tucks it down low. Bouchard smacks it around. Marchman in front. What time are wide? Jason Robertson. 3 seconds. Haskin has it blocked. This game, this series is over. Edmonton's heading to the Stanley Cup final.
He is again growling at just an epic register, just all the energy.
Has it blocked? This game, this series
is over. We'll have to talk to Jack again. He was just with us a couple weeks ago, and I just absolutely love him. He does a phenomenal job, as do many of the NHL play-by-play announcers. So the Oilers hang on, tight quarters there through most of the game, really, but second half of that third period, only leading by a goal. Yeah, they go from being down 2-1, giving up 5 goals in game 3, to then and actually being down a couple in the next game, to winning games 4, 5, 6. And we'll head to the Stanley Cup final. And who cares about aesthetics now?
Sometimes it's not pretty, but no team is pretty while defending a lead with a team, sitting 2 minutes away from being eliminated, right? They got an extra guy out there, and sometimes it's a little bit of desperation and a little bit of sacrifice, and at the end of the day, we got it done, and it's all that matters.
We did a great job defending. I thought we did a really good job on that part of it, on not giving up very many scoring chances. But the fact that we had to defend as much as we did was not what we want to do.
That's the voice of Chris Knobloch, and before that, Leon Draisaitl. And here's the stat. And you could watch it play out and know that there were long stretches in between shots on goal for the Oilers. In this game, now remember, they had 2 power play goals. In this game, 10 shots. 10. That's it. The Dallas Stars had 35 of them. So Stuart Skinner was up to the task, but also you hear Knobloch talking about defending, how many times they were sacrificing life and limb to lay out or to block a shot, to do anything they could to be in front of the pucks that were coming in towards Skinner. So yeah, they spent a good portion of this game 6 defending as opposed to forcing the issue, trying to extend the lead. They certainly have the ability to score. But when Leon says, who cares what it looks like? Well, that's what he's talking about. And I wouldn't say necessarily they were playing not to lose, but maybe there was some of that. Some of that, hey, we're going to sit on this lead and we're going to do whatever we can to protect it. And they were able to do it, but 10 total shots. They had more block shots, nearly as many takeaways as they had actual shots on goal. It was pretty stark, that number. And Stuart Skinner has received a bunch of flack at maybe being the weakest link for the Edmonton Oilers. But his teammates, like Ryan Nugent Hopkins, they don't want to hear it anymore.
Incredible. Every time we need him to put on a big performance, he steps up. So tonight, the other night when they got that the one to start to push, I mean, he's just been incredible for us. Some huge performances, and he's going to prepare here, and we're going to get ready to go next week.
The Stanley Cup Final doesn't start until Saturday. It's a little odd, actually. Now, I know the NHL and the NBA, for the most part, are not on the same days. So that's good for fans who don't want to have to worry about going back and forth and don't like the cannibalism, if you will, of the two sports kind of taking viewers away from each other. It won't be 2 Dallas teams that are still standing for championships. And so this hurts for the Dallas Stars, who have a veteran squad. But honestly, what an incredible stage awaits for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but Connor specifically. Do you guys remember the narrative about how the Oilers were tanking for Connor McDavid and how the whole idea was to have the number 1 pick in his draft? Well, I don't know that they tanked. I don't generally believe that players and coaches do that, because if you do, you're likely to lose your job. But here is Connor McDavid at 27 years old. He was the overall number 1 pick going back to 2015. And he finally gets a shot at the Stanley Cup Final and the game's biggest stage. After everything he's done in the regular season, I mean, that includes 132 points this year, 100 assists in the regular season. We get to see him and his stick work, his magic hands on display in the Stanley Cup Final. And he did say that after Game 6, as they were celebrating their West title, that it was the loudest inside Rogers Place that he's ever heard it.
I mean, there's been lots of growing pains for sure. Lots of lessons along the way. And obviously it feels good. It feels great to be in this position. This was always part of the plan, and feels good to be here today.
I'm sure it was always part of the plan eventually to get to a Stanley Cup final, but obviously it took longer than what a lot of fans were hoping. We get impatient as fans, but now, and Leon Draisaitl's a huge part of this equation, the pressure that he takes off of Connor McDavid, but also the way that the two of them raise the level of the other, right? So together, they're better than they would be on separate teams. It's tremendous to see the two of them work. It reminds me a little bit of the tandem in its heyday for Chicago of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And just, you've got two guys that know each other so well, and each of them is better and performs better, but also has bloated numbers because of the work that the other does. So I love that. But the first final for Edmonton since 2006, the last Canadian Cup winner, 1993, but... You know what's better than, I don't say better, that's the wrong word. You know what's even more amazing if we celebrate the Oilers winning their first cup since, what is it, 90? The last Canadian Cup winner was in 93. When was the Oilers' last cup? I'm going to have to go back and look at the actual Oilers' last cup. But you know that Wayne Gretzky is on the Oiler or is on the set for the NHL broadcast, so it's kind of cool to hear his perspective.
1990.
So I was right. Okay, lots of dates in my head, but it's kind of neat to hear Gretzky's perspective. So I hope that we'll have more of his comments. Just the reflection of how long it's taken. Remember, he and at the time he was getting married to Janet Jones. She was an actress. She wanted to be based in LA. And so they moved to, you know, he asked for a trade to the LA Kings, and that left Edmonton in a bit of a holding pattern, just around and around and around, and not quite ever having what they needed or being able to put it together to get back to the Stanley Cup final. But now here they are. So really excited about the potential for Edmonton, but also the Florida Panthers. There's a redemption story there as well. Right, there's a redemption story because they've never won a Stanley Cup final, but they were there a year ago and lost to the Vegas Golden Knights. It was 4-1, I think, if I remember correctly. So yeah, Florida's got a lot to play for, and they feel like they've been preparing for this opportunity for 12 months. So we'll hear from the Dallas Stars, maybe a little more from the Oilers. But congratulations, Canadian hockey fans. This could be your time. I just want to know that all of you are cheering for the Oilers. Don't give me, hey, I'm a Maple Leafs fan, so I can't.
Why are you so pissy, Leon?
So I can't cheer for the Oilers. Nah. Every year I hear it like a rite of passage. And finally, I mean, I wasn't even working in the business, obviously. I wasn't even a professional in 1993. I was a kid. So it's good that we've got this fresh blood and either a winner for the first time ever or a winner for the first time since 1990. That's awesome. I love these kind of storylines. So on Twitter, or Twix as we're trying to call it now, it might catch on, at A-Law Radio. Let me hear from you, Canadian hockey fans, and also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Listening to the After Hours podcast.
McDavid heading for the net, around Steele, toe drag, backhander score. What a sensational goal by the captain, Connor McDavid. It's 1-0 Edmonton in game six. Spectacular!
There's one player in the world that can make plays like that and things like that happen. I don't know what to say. Like, he knows what I think of him. I think everybody does. So I'll just leave it at that. It's just it's one player in the world that can make things like that happen.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Leon Draisaitl. Sometimes you just run out of words to describe what Connor McDavid does out there with a stick and a puck on the ice. And not only did he have a power play goal, but also an assist on Zach Hyman's power play goal in the first period, put the Oilers up 2-0. And that lead did withstand anything the Dallas Stars threw at them. Stuart Skinner with the 34 saves. And it just is so crazy. Not only did the Oilers go into extreme defense mode or extreme protect mode with just a lot of the defense coming up so critically in front of Skinner to protect that first period lead. But also the number of shots the Stars had were fairly limited too. The number of goals the Stars had really limited going back to when they had that 2-0 lead in game four. And at that point, never really had the advantage again. So the Oilers, they found another gear. The way that they adjusted and played out the rest of the series was impressive. And now we'll see them on the sports grandest stage. Hashtag because it's the cup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twix at A-Law Radio. I know it makes you want some chocolate. And also on our Facebook page. Now the Oilers will take on the Panthers, who were there a year ago, had to eliminate the New York Rangers, and were able to do it on their own ice in game six. So in both these series, East and West, you had a tie, two games apiece, going into game five. And in each case, the road team won game five and then went on to win game number six at home, which is kind of cool. And the Panthers, same kind of deal that they've employed all the way through this postseason. The forechecking, the speed, the power, limiting the quality chances for the New York Rangers, and honestly, limiting what their stars were able to do. So no goals in this series for the likes of Mika Zibanejad. Also, just one goal for Chris Kreider, one goal for Artemi Panarin. The Panthers have an identity. They have a system. And the Rangers and coach Peter Laviolette found that a tough nut to crack, if you will.
Their strength is their defense, and that's how they've gotten to this point. I do think we started the right way. They generated a few chances on their power play, and that that took a minute to get through.
Swarm is the word that was used by our NHL insider Luke Fox when he joined us late last week, and that really is appropriate. Nothing easy against the Florida Panthers. But why is that? Well, we've heard from these guys like Matthew Tkachuk, like Alexander Barkov. We've been preparing for this going back to last summer and the disappointment over losing in the Stanley Cup final. That's really been their mantra all year long, is using this calendar year, well, from June to June, to get ready to find the redemption.
The memories that you create at this time of year are the ones that you carry with forever and the ones that stick with you throughout the whole season. So if that's the motivation that you got to have in the summer to do your stuff, go above and beyond, work as hard as you can, like that's what pushes guys.
We did two things. We did it. Bill and his staff did an incredible job finding the people to fill the holes, short and long term, and then the players did the work on their own.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard it from them. This is the motivation. This is what pushes us, has pushed us for months now. And I will say again, I love their identity. They have an identity. They do not waver from it. You don't get them questioning how we do things and whether or not it's working. No, they knew it was a system and it was the right people that it would work for them because they were able to make the Stanley Cup final a year ago. Maybe just needed a few more guys with experience. The sport itself is so hard to predict. Not that we do a lot of that, but anything can and will happen over the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And for a team to go to back-to-back cup finals, that's huge. I mean, remember the Tampa Bay Lightning did it. Of course, one of their seasons was the COVID year. But to win two cups in a row is extraordinary. Forget being able to get to two finals. So I love not just the motivation, but the long-term plan of the Florida Panthers. And then more of a slow burn with Connor McDavid, who was selected by the Oilers in 2015. And we'll ask him the question. Well, I won't specifically, but I'll pose the question. You'll hear his answer about whether or not there's extra pressure carrying all the weight of the Canadian hockey faithful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.